another person on the playground when she didn't have anybody to play with.
When people are loving to me, I feel like I should do it to someone else.
Because Jesus did the same for us.
It's like your daughter says you were having to do to you.
That you should treat the other one just like I've been treated before. Not like bad, but the times I've been good treated.
Nobody really wants to play with somebody who's being mean.
Being kind is helping those in need.
Give them some food.
Get fish and bread and green beans and peas and apples.
I'll ask my mom and or dad,
can we go get food for this hungry person that I found?
Love is
hugging your mom and helping her wash the dishes.
I just get to wash the food and just play them.
People show me love by holding my hand, and they also give me a kiss around the head when I'm asleep very lightly.
There's people that don't get love in other places of the world.
You help them.
Just help people.
If we show people love, they can spread it all around the world.
Okay, come here, Mommy.
I'll show her something.
I'll show you something. Come here, Mommy.
The greatest command that God ever gave is to love. The highest of all the commands is to love. And if we'd be honest, it's the most difficult. Well, this coming Friday is Valentine's Day, so I want to encourage you with a couple words today that there is someone who can keep the command to love. So I've titled today's message, The Power of Love. Father, I do thank you so much that you have loved us. You do love us. You will forever love us. That it's so good to be loved, to know we're loved, to experience what your love is like. We just want to say thank you for that this morning. Our Father, we are just so grateful that you indeed are love. So, Father, for the one that is here this day that has never experienced your love, we pray that this would be the day. We pray that, Father, that our hearts would indeed be receptive to your love, to believe it, to revel in it, to rejoice in it, to have some understanding of it, to believe it with all our hearts. So we thank you, Father, that you've given it to us in Christ. So we pray that you'll direct our way this day. We pray that our lives would be different, that we would certainly be corrected if we need to, dear Lord, but somehow that we would even taste the goodness of the Lord in this place today. In Christ's name I ask this. Amen. Would you find with me the seventh verse of the passage that you have in front of you there, 1 John chapter 2. And I want to read this little section here beginning at verse number 7. If you'll please follow along. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I want to begin with the idea that John is the authority on love. Well, the Holy Spirit in John, he might be the authority on love, though. In the Gospel of John, you're going to find John making reference to love 22 times. you go in these few five chapters of the gospel or the epistle of 1 John, 33 times he makes reference to love. So if you want to find out something about love, you're going to need to go to 1 John chapters 1 through 5. So first, it's an old word. Look at verse 7. I write, brethren, no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Now, how do you respond when you hear somebody say that something is old? Now, you've probably got some old things in your home. Well, we certainly do. But does anyone know the first time the word love is found in the Bible? First time the word love is found in the Bible? The first time love is found in the Bible is Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, watch this, whom you love. So who was the first person to use the word? Look closely. Who was the first person to use the word love? He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I tell you of. Abraham lived 4,100 years ago, and now it is true that love is eternal. But the first person to use the word love in your Bible is God. So I think you're going to agree with me that it's an old word. And the Apostle John is going to take us into a journey to God's love in God's heart. So what is this old thing that John's writing about? Look with me at this from the writer's viewpoint, or we'll say from the viewpoint of a writer. You see, a writer can take an old idea, and as he tells it through the story of, let's say, two people who fall in love, you know that he could take an old idea and make it new. Well, that's partly what John is doing here, but John tells us exactly what the old commandment is. Look what it says. This, the old commandment, is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now, it's just not any word. It's the word they heard from the beginning, which implies that it might just be the most important word that was ever used. Now, folks, don't you love it when somebody says, I love you? Husbands and wives have an interesting relationship, don't they? Over all the years of their marriage, sometimes a wife will never ever say, I love you, in words. But she can still say, I love you. Same thing with the husband. If he brings flowers, that means he loves her, right? If he gets her a Valentine's card, doesn't that mean he loves her, right? Are those not expressions of love? But don't you like it when somebody says, I love you? By the way, does anybody here know someone by the name of Charity? Personally? The word charity is the word love. Now, you might think that John was trying to say something maybe in code, by the way he's phrasing this here, but there's no secret meaning and there's no hidden meaning, folks. He says, now please remember, John, pardon me, is doing the one thing a good writer will do, and that is he's getting you to think. Think about something old that is also something new. Probably the greatest concept ever, because you're going to find out later in John that he says this. He says God is love. The oldest concept known to man, probably the most important word ever spoken. And we know it goes all the way back to the beginning. It's old, this word, love. It's all. They had heard it from the beginning. The one that you and I have heard from the beginning is the word love. So I'm telling you that John's going to take you on a bit of a journey into the heart of Almighty God. Listen, the oldest is still the best. The oldest is still the best. It is the most marvelous thing to know love. It is just beyond. Now, I've told you my story before. I won't tell you my whole story again. But I didn't grow up in a loving home. So on my first occasion where I heard someone teach on the subject of love, I reacted. I resisted and I rejected. I did not like in any way, shape, or form somebody standing and teaching people about love. I didn't have it in my home. I didn't like this person talking about love. By the way, that was my problem, not his. Since that time, my heart has been a little bit changed, folks. Now I have something more that I could say to you about love that I did in that day. But listen, the oldest is still the best. Why do you think God created you? Why do you think God put into Adam's heart a love for his wife? Why? You see, love is the very person of Almighty God himself. So as we have considered the book of 1 John, what have we considered? We've looked at the power of joy. We've looked at the power of fellowship. We've looked at the power of forgiveness. We've looked at the power of Christ's advocacy. We've looked at the power of the propitiation of Christ. We've looked at the power of obedience. So with me this morning, would you consider the power of love? It's an old word, but it's also a new commandment. Look again at the Bible with me, please. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Now, isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit can take one single word and make so much of it that it can affect your life forever? I'm telling you, it's a journey into the heart of God to even meditate on the concept of love. You see, it's not enough to know that love has been around a long time. What is enough is when you see the power of love. As a matter of fact, it's certainly the oldest idea known to man, the oldest word in the world. But listen, it's the greatest command that God ever gave. By the way, some of you probably know this, but before James and John, they were brothers, John, before James and John, before they had their names changed, we knew them as James and John. But I found something interesting in the Bible about James and John that I want to share with you. Scripture says that Simon, Jesus, surnamed Peter. And Jesus also surnamed James and John. And he called them Boanerges. He called them by the new name, the Sons of Thunder. Now, I guess you could read into that or read out of that, whatever you want. I'm going to tell you, though, that the Apostle John is the Apostle of Love. I don't really understand all there is to know about why Jesus picked that title to lay upon these guys. But for whatever reason, he called them Boanerges, the Sons of Thunder. Simon, he called Peter. James and John, he called the Sons of Thunder. What kind of young men were these young men Did they make a lot of noise? I suppose all of you have got a little baby in your house. You want to call that child the son of thunder? Whirl. Don't you like it when you have a newborn in the house? Isn't it exciting to have a newborn in the house? Maybe not thunder, but a lot of noise, right? Well, maybe they made a lot of noise. You probably know people like that. And maybe when you meet somebody who makes a lot of noise, maybe you could class them as Boanerges if you'd want, the sons of thunder. But listen, by this time, by the time we're reading here, John has spent day after day after day with Jesus Christ. And he walked with this person, Jesus Christ. He knew him daily. He saw him at work. He saw him how he dealt with people. John had a personal one-on-one connection with the beloved Son of God. And John, listen, John's now up in age. I'm guessing that John is well into his 90s when he writes this here. But I'm saying that usually what happens by the time you get to be 90, you mellow out a little bit. And I'm guessing that maybe John might have mellowed out a little bit. But he's walked with the Lord. And I think that when I read John, you know what I think? I think he's got something that I should be listening to. Remember what I said about John? When you read 1 John, it's like meeting a man who knows God. He understands what it is to walk with God. He's like your grandpa. You go there and you just want to be around your grandpa. You don't care if he tells the same story over and over again. You just like to be around your grandpa. Well, remember when you're reading 1 John that you're reading a writer who's still writing into his 90s. Now, I think it must be the most difficult thing in the world to write something new about love. How many books you think there have been written on the topic of love? Any ideas? How many different kinds of love are there? So it's an old idea, but there is a new command here. Now, how can something be new when it is old? How can something be new when it is old? Is that even possible? Well, I don't know. Suppose I was digging in the garden and I came across a lump of dirt, a hard lump of dirt, a stone about the size of whatever fit inside my hand. And inside the lump of dirt was something shiny. And I washed that dirt off in my kitchen sink, and I discovered it was a gold nugget. That, folks, is something that would be old and is new, because I found it. I discovered it. I washed it. I weighed it. And I found out that I could get $10,000 for that dirty lump that I found in my garden. So John is writing about something that is old as the hills, yet folks, the old topic is new in this sense. It's classic. It's been around a long time, yet listen folks, everything you see in a new way when you come to Christ. I said everything, and I mean everything. Because you are a new person when you come to Christ. So everything has to be seen through the lens of this person whose name is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say that power of love has been around a long time, but love, to be genuine, must be experienced as it relates to one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. The world has a lot to say about love, but I'm telling you that your life completely changes when you come in contact with this person, Jesus Christ. First, old word. Second, new commandment. Now, the greatest demand from the greatest demander. Look with me again at your Bible. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause of moral stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness. And he walks in darkness, and he does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Did you ever wonder how it can possibly be that the great demander would lay such a demand upon you? Why would God command that you love him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Why would he command you to love your neighbor as yourself? Does anybody not see that as a very, very, very big demand? Why would he do that? How can he lay such a big demand upon you? He's saying here, you're only in the light if you, rather than hating your brother, if you love him. And when you love your brother, there is no cause for others stumbling morally in you. One day this took place in the life of Jesus. One of them, which is a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind." And says Jesus, "This is the first and great command. The second is just like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets." Does anybody here notice with me that that is a very, very big demand? See, the entire 39 books, 2,929 chapters, in the first five books of Moses, 619 specific commands given by God. And Jesus lays this burden on the lawyer, and he says, wholeheartedly love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm sure that guy was just jumping up and down and said, "I got this now. Thank you, Jesus, for clarifying. I'm going to go for this my whole life. That's right? You think that's how he responded? When you go home today, look up the passage and see how he responded. Would anyone agree with me that it's a large demand to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? Huge demand. Old command. Now it's a new command. I want to say this. In order for you to keep these two laws, you must have the power of love inside you. Have you ever really tried to love somebody else like you love yourself? Have you ever really tried to love other people like you love yourself? And here, who here's tried to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? I was reading this week about some young men in China who years ago were presented with a challenge. The best way for the Chinese to carry salt was in baskets on a pole across their shoulders, and they could pick up the salt, put it in that basket, and they could carry it. Typical young Chinese worker could carry 250 pounds. Don't think you can't carry 250, because I'm sure you can. Now, you may be able to pick me up and put me on your back and carry me and think, well, he's only 130 pounds. But did you know that you could probably pick up somebody who's at least twice my weight, depending upon how the weight was shifted on your shoulders, and you could carry somebody that maybe weighed 200 or 250 pounds. But these guys had something going that day. They knew that you could carry 250 pounds of salt a certain distance. One man in the village was able to get 500 pounds of salt. So the young men got a contest going among themselves. Who can carry 500 pounds of salt? And every single young man tried it. He knew he couldn't do it, but he tried it. And they all had a good laugh. It was irresistible to not try. When they don't discover that they couldn't even lift it, trying, they give up, every single one of them. And it went on for hours, and they totally enjoyed themselves, until one strong young man, the only one in the village, the only one who was able to pick up 500 pounds and carry it that distance. Here's what I want to say about love. Only one person can keep the love command. Did you hear what I said? Only one person can keep the command to love God wholeheartedly. And His name is Jesus Christ. Someone has wisely said that this is the greatest demand from the greatest demander. And I agree, but I would like to add the following. The sooner we too give up trying, the better. For if we monopolize the task, then there's no room for the Holy Spirit. But if you say, "I'll not do it, I'll trust you to do it for me," then you will find a power stronger than yourself carrying you through. Now, if you love your brother, you're walking in the light. You hate your brother, you're in the darkness. And the darkness is blinding your eyes. If you love your brother, there's no occasion of stumbling in you. Now, isn't it possible that some of you right now are trying to carry 500 pounds when it's impossible? I want to encourage you with this. Jesus Christ can carry the 500 pounds of salt. By that I mean, when you want to love God with all your heart, look to Him to give you the wherewithal to love God with all your heart. When you have somebody in your life that you know you need to love and you don't even like them, you have to look to somebody else's love to enable you to love that person. How many here today are trying to do things for the Lord? I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this with all my might. I'm going to do this for God. And then you find you can't do it, but you're determined. You got a good, strong will. But listen, folks, the sooner you see that you can't, and the sooner that you see and find that He can, the sooner you'll find that love works and you're walking in the light. The greatest demand from the greatest demander can only be met by one person. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the one who lives in you if you have put your trust in Christ. One of the greatest songs I think that was ever written was written by a woman named Annie Johnson. Annie Johnson grew up in a very, very difficult circumstance. She and her sister, early on, the parents died, and they went to live with an aunt, I believe it was, by the name of Flint. And then they died. So Annie Johnson Flint had two sets of parents die. Annie Johnson Flint had physical problems like you cannot imagine. She spent most of her time in a wheelchair with some kind of arthritis, completely crippled up almost her entire life. Andy Johnson Flint is known for having written some of the greatest songs that you will ever sing in your life. This is one that's a favorite of mine. Boy, you have no idea how I wish I could sing this one. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To add of affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. Love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. Grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth again. Here is the essence of love for you. Listen, please, to Annie Johnson Flint. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. You might be among the Christians who are determined that you're going to do something for God. Would you please go back to the Bible with me and realize it's all about what God is doing for you through you if you will learn to trust Him. It's not for God. Haven't you tried to love Him with all your heart? Haven't you tried to love others like you love yourself? Listen, it's not enough to know that Jesus is strong. It is enough to know that Christ in you will enable you to love as you ought to. Somebody said this to me lately. He said, "Pastor, I don't know why I'm so weak." Well, I do. I know exactly why. Listen to Jesus, please. The flesh profits nothing. Go ahead. Depend upon yourself. Lean upon your own efforts and energies. The problem, as one man put it, is that you are weak enough not to do the will of God. But you are not weak enough to keep out of things altogether. You're still not weak enough. When you are reduced to utter weakness and are persuaded that you can do nothing whatsoever without Christ in you, then God becomes everything for you. You must come to the point where you say, "Lord, I am unable to do anything for you, but I trust you to do everything in me." I want you to know something, folks. I want you to know this. I want you to understand it. I want to say it simply. There is another person who will enable you to do whatever needs to be done. And the Bible teaches us that if you're a believer in Christ, that you are in Him and He is in you. You see, He will enable you to love. It is His power that enables you to love. If there was any other way, listen, folks, if there's any other way, then you don't need Christ. You don't need Him. But the greatest demand from the greatest demander cannot be met by you, but only by the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you. Listen to Jesus, please. Without me, ye can do nothing. I have a testimony here of a former atheist. This lady was an atheist for a long time, and this is what she says. When I was an atheist, sin was never an issue for me. I wasn't particularly aware of it. I didn't really experience guilt. But when I became a Christian, whoa, I found out there were things I was doing that God did not want in my life. I also became aware of my need to love others, to read the Bible, to pray, to witness, to disciple others, and at times I thought, it's way easier to be an atheist. Now that I knew God, I felt a tremendous sense of responsibility to please Him with my life. I'd read the Bible, I'd read a command, and it seemed like verse after verse, I could honestly say, yep, good idea, I need to do that more. And I couldn't do it. She says, you can't read a paragraph without being told what to do. That is true. But while God gives you commands, He also tells you that you cannot fully obey them apart from Him. So when you look at God's commands, she says, don't attempt to obey them on your own effort. Instead, ask God who lives inside you to produce that in you. And if God says to love each other, He doesn't intend for you to march off with enthusiastic responsibility and show God how loving you can be. Well, thank you, Marilyn Adamson. He wants you to depend upon Him. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, there's a number of pictures in the Bible to remind you of the way this works. This is how it works, says Jesus. The first picture is the picture of a vine and the branches. The branches are attached to the vine. The branches are nothing without the vine. According to Jesus, He's the vine, you're the branch. And I say, why this picture, Lord? And He says, so that you will understand that He, Jesus Christ, is your very life. Look what He says there. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Which includes loving God and loving the people in your life. Then He gives us a picture of the yoke covering two oxen's shoulders. And Jesus said this. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I said, Lord, why? Why do I need to see the yoke? Why do I need to see the yoke? And He says, here's why. You need to know that I am your strength. Not only is He my life, but He's also my strength. You probably know these words. Paul says it like this. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The third picture is the picture of fruit. It's the fruit that comes from the Spirit. And the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I want you to think with me about the fact of what is Jesus Christ to you. Yes, there is the power of love, but what is Jesus Christ to you? Pictures are there so that you'll understand. Vine, He is your life. Yoke, He is your strength. Fruit, He is your power. don't know what's going on in your life today. I do know, though, that everybody needs love and everybody wants love. So my question is going to be the same question I ask you all the time. What is Jesus Christ to you? You either need him or you don't need him. You either want him or you don't want him. You either reject him or you completely accept him. You either depend upon him or you depend upon you. It's not that difficult for us to make the distinctions. So pictures are simple for us. And the Lord wants us to know where our life comes from. He wants to know where our strength comes from. He wants to know where our love comes from. And they all come from the same source. You see, by your own power, you cannot live up to any command that God ever gave, let alone the greatest command he ever gave. Because listen, if you could love without his life, you don't need him. If you can obey without Christ in you, then you don't need him. But his love becomes your love, and your love becomes his love. So the question, of course, is, are you going to depend upon him? And are you dependent upon him? Folks, this should bring you the greatest hope that you've ever heard in your life. Your power is in a person. Your power is the person who lives in you. And that person who lives in you simply wants to live his life through you. And that happens when you learn to put your dependence on him. Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, the first step is this, to pray the sinner's prayer. To admit that you are a sinner in the sight of God and to acknowledge that Christ was the one that took care of every single sin. I know I'm a sinner, and I ask forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the one who paid for all my sins. I take Jesus Christ as both my Savior and the forgiver of all my sins. I want your Son to come into my life right now. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. That's the sinner's prayer. Now, what about the Christian's prayer? Make me, Lord, so weak that I have no other recourse but to lean on you for everything. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being my strength. I now surrender all that I am to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your Son. Lord, thank you that there is all that we need in one place, in one person, and that is your Son. Thank you, Lord, that you sent him, that even to this very moment, Lord, the one who you sent to walk on this earth 2,000 years ago now is alive in me and in these folks here that have put their trust in him. Thank you, Father, for a complete, total forgiveness, cancellation of every single sin. We know, Lord, we'll never ever be punished again for a single sin. Lord, we know there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the glory, the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for the wonder of it all, Lord. I would pray, Father, for the saint that's here today who finally sees and understands that, yes, they can love. They can love you, Lord. They can love their neighbor by somebody else's power. We go forth today, dear Lord, to do just that. Thank you for all that you've given to us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me finish up with this before we sing one song. If a church understands what I shared with you on the topic of love today, then the church has something that is so attractive and so beautiful that when you go and tell somebody about Jesus, they will know that you're not witnessing. They will know that you are a witness because something has happened in you that is unexplainable apart from a relationship with the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. So I will tell you, folks, Jesus said this: by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Listen, if you have love one for another.